Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I open my eyes and there you are. I was hoping that no one would be here so I wouldn't have to preach. I'm joking. Maybe not. No, I love to share God's word, and my wife says hello. She was here 2 years ago, I think, so she sends her greetings, and we have been partners with your church. You have partnered with us for a long time. I think this is our fifth trip. I keep pinching myself every time I get off the plane and I see the mountains. It's like I go from the ocean in New Jersey, sea level, to here. But it's a blessing. And you guys have just been so generous to us on many accounts. Dan is texting me and calling me once a month. How are you doing? How is your family? How is the ministry? How can we pray for you? So it just means the world to us to have you partnering with us and encouraging us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I am with Life of Messiah. So if you're new to the church, want to share a little bit about who we are. We're the oldest ministry to the Jewish people. We were founded in 1887. Raise your hand if you've seen Fiddler on the Roof. All right, so the end of the movie, right? They're being kicked out of Russia and they're circling the wagons. They have all their, you know, circling like this, and they're singing this dirge, "We have to leave, we have to leave." And one uncle turns to the other uncle and says, "We're going to America. Where are you going?" He says, I'm going to Chicago. Where are you going? I'm going to New York. Great, we'll be neighbors. They found out very quickly that that wasn't happening. But that's the backdrop. William E. Blackstone found himself in Chicago and seeing hundreds and hundreds of Jewish people coming to America, not knowing how to speak the language, not knowing how to incorporate their skills from Eastern Russia, Eastern Europe into the States. And he's like, I need to help them with physical, tangible needs, help them with the language and getting their work skills together. But then he realized the most important thing God spoke to them, the most important thing they need is the gospel. So we started the Chicago Hebrew Mission in 1887, which then became AMF, American Messianic Fellowship, and now is Life of Messiah. And we have field staff all over the world sharing God's heart with the Jewish people, equipping the church on how to pray and minister to the Jewish people. And we also are speaking out against anti-Semitism. We're teaching churches how to stand in solidarity with the Jewish people. Raise your hand if you've seen on the news that anti-Semitism is at an all-time high. And not only is it an all-time high in America, it's now spread worldwide. Excuse me. Since October 7th, it's been off the charts. So we are out there. We have a YouTube channel, so look up Life of Messiah. We had a team on the campus. Who remembers the Columbia University fiasco? We were on the campus the day that Hamilton Hall was taken over. We were on campus. We were in the midst. I can try to show you pictures. We were in the midst of the encampment where they had that encampment. It was crazy. So that's a little bit about Life of Messiah. We are in New Jersey / New York City. About 135,000 Orthodox Jewish people live in Lakewood. The largest yeshiva outside of Israel is in Lakewood. And so we have our work cut out for us, right? And but God is doing great things. He's at work. He's reaching Jewish people with the gospel message. And I'll tell you a little story about what God has been doing as we get into our message. So if you want to turn with me in your Bible to Leviticus 23, that'll just kind of be where we'll center. And you're like, oh my gosh, he's going to preach out of Leviticus 23. Of all the books, it's going to be good. As our president says, you're going to like it. We have a table back there. We got some magnets of my lovely family. There's big ones and small ones. I'd love, they're free. Take them, put them on your fridge. When you see us, pray for us. But most importantly, pray for the Jewish people. Pray that they will have their eyes and hearts open to the gospel message. And then they will find eternal life in the promised Messiah. The Messiah that we believe in was first promised in what? Their book. In their book, the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Genesis 49:10, the resurrection, Psalm 16, verse 11. It's all there. It's all in their book. And then there's some information about us.
there on the back about what we do. And there's a place if you want to get our ministry update, you can fill this out. You can actually scan the QR code, sign up for our newsletter if you would like to. So see the table. My bodyguard, Vinny, is back there. Actually, it's actually his name. And he's from Jersey. And he's 6'6". So it's perfect. He's just my good friend. He's an elder at our church, at Cornerstone Church. So he said, the next time you go out there, please bring me. I'm like, let's go. So he's with me. He's a blessing. He's very friendly. He doesn't bite. But yeah, if you have any questions about our ministry, I'd love to talk to you. So please come up and talk my ear off. But this morning, we're going to be talking about God's appointed times, the Feast of Israel. And the Feast of Israel are split into two different seasons. But before that, let me ask the Lord to bless our time. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just we thank you, Lord, and we would be really mistaken if we did not bow our hearts before you before we enter in your word. Father, I pray in the name of your Son, Yeshua, that you'd speak to us, that you would minister to us, that you would show us yourself in these feasts, that you have fulfilled them and you are still going to fulfill them. I pray that you'd encourage and speak to your people today through your word, that we would be caught up and inspired and encouraged about how much you love us. So commit this time to you. Be with us. We know you are. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So God's appointed times. Raise your hand if you were here for the Seder. All right, I chose it that way so people don't raise their hand if they weren't here and be like, oh, I'm ashamed. So raise your hand if you were here. All right. Okay, there's a bunch of you that were not here. So we looked at Pesach. We looked at the Passover on Friday night, and that's the first of the spring feast. So if we go to the next slide, chapter 23, this is going to be a little bit of an educational message, but also very practical as well. So the Feast of Israel are God's appointed times, and I love that. They are God's appointed times. The word there, the Hebrew word is moedim. They are God's moed. They are appointments, right? God's appointed times and appointment. When you make an appointment, what does that mean, right? You're making a scheduled time. I have an appointment to go to the dentist. I want to cancel that appointment so I don't have to go. But if I keep it, I'm going to make an appointment with Dr. Wilk, my cousin who's a dentist. It's an appointment. It's a set time set aside that I meet with someone, whether it's a lawyer or a doctor. You're meeting with someone. Well, God, guess what? Loves us so much, he wants to meet with us. Amen? So throughout the calendar year, he's like, seven times I want to meet with you. You have 7 days in the week. Not only seven times of feast days that I want to meet with you, the first appointed time is the Shabbat. So we had Shabbat sundown on Friday night till sundown on Sunday night. God loves us so much, he says, stop. One day a week. I want to meet with you every day, but I want to really meet with you on one day. God loves us so much, he knows if he doesn't tell us to stop, we are the energizer bunny. We will keep going and going and going. Who can raise your hand if you're not encouraged to stop, you'll just keep going, right? My wife, I was just in Vermont last week and came back, and then we came out here. If you're smart, my advice to you husbands, listen to your wife. Okay. She says, Scott Schwartz, you are taking off today. Put your computer away, turn off your phone. I want you to go to the beach, take a walk, read a book, listen to music, because I needed to downtime, right? I needed to rest. So God knows that we need to rest, and he loves us so much. He's given us a weekly Shabbat and seven feast days. So chapter 23 of Leviticus is a chapter in the middle, next slide, in the middle of the Torah. Maybe I went too far. All right. Yes. Okay. I think we skipped ahead. So chapter 23 is a chapter in the heart of the Torah that outlines God's appointed times. They're appointments, and they are God's calendar. God has created a calendar for us. And there's two significance concerning this. It's an agricultural significance. You guys are going to understand that. When we're speaking in cities and churches in metropolitan areas, really not in touch, but here, I like pulled up and I'm like, wow, there's cows. Listen, I'm from New Jersey. I grew up in Philadelphia. The extra parking space, there's not cows. It's pretty cool, to be honest with you. So it's an agricultural significance, but even more important, there's a prophetic significance. God is showing us the times of his calendar and the times of the Messiah. And they're split up into two sections, the spring and the fall. So next slide. Here we go. We have the spring, the first coming of Jesus. So the feast days, God's appointed times of the biblical feasts, are the first and second coming of the Messiah. So I'm going to break that down for you right now. So the feasts in the spring have been fulfilled in Jesus' first coming, right? We're getting ready to celebrate Palm Sunday. It's the triumphal entry where Yeshua comes in and reveals himself as king. He's getting ready to go to the cross. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, the what? Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb is getting ready to be put up on a cross and crucified, correct? That is the fulfillment of Passover. Jesus is the fulfillment. If you were here at the Seder, they took a lamb, if you weren't here, took a lamb in the days of Egypt, and they had to be perfect. They inspected it. 4 days later, they would kill the lamb, pour its blood out, put it on hyssop and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And when the angel of death came through the camp and he saw the blood, he would what? Pass over. The lamb was slain. Jesus is the lamb who was slain. He fulfilled the feast of Pesach. First fruits at the time of the first barley harvest when their things were ripe, they had to harvest the grain, harvest the field. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see that Yeshua has fulfilled the feast of first fruits. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So first we have the crucifixion. They take Jesus down from the cross. They bury him. What does he do? I'll tell you what he did. I love this. He kicked death in the face. Might be the first time you ever heard the resurrection described, but he kicked death in the face, right? And he rose from the grave. Yeshua fulfilled first fruits. Next, we come to Shavuot, or Pentecost, found in Acts chapter 2. It's traditional that the Jewish people celebrate Shavuot, or Pentecost. They say that the law was given on Mount Sinai during the feast of Pentecost and Shavuot. The law was given on Shavuot. When Jesus came in Acts 2, what holiday were they celebrating? Shavuot, Pentecost. And they were all gathered and God poured out his spirit. Every tribe, tongue, and language, every Jewish person was there. Every male had to present themselves. And they were there in Jerusalem and the spirit of God was poured out and the birth of the church. The Spirit of God fulfilled the Feast of Shavuot. So through the death, the resurrection, and the birth of the church, Jesus and his Spirit has fulfilled the three fall feasts. We up to speed? Jesus has fulfilled the spring feast. Sorry if I said fall feasts. Next slide. All right, so we're going to get into the first of the fall feasts, which is Rosh Hashanah, Leviticus 23, 1 through 2 says this about God's appointed times. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, these are my appointed times. Next slide. So where are we now? Okay. So we're not, let's talk about where we are now on our calendar. It's April, right? Getting ready to end the spring. We're getting ready to go where? Summer. So we've finished the spring. We're getting ready to go into the summer, and then we come into the fall. We are right now in the middle between the spring and the fall. We are in the summertime. What happens during the summertime? If you are gardening, you like to what? harvest all that you have planted, right? So my buddy Vinny, he got this steak last night, and it was like drenched in purple stuff. I'm like, bro. He's like, I got the huckleberry sauce. I'm like, oh. When in Montana? So maybe huckleberry pie for dessert for lunch. So we're harvest. We're in the harvest time, right? So Jesus tells us that. But in Leviticus 23:22, it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and for the alien. I am the Lord your God. We see God's heart right there in this verse that God gives to the needy. He wants to provide for all people. He provided salvation to the world through the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, the Messiah. Next slide. So the application for us right now is, where are we? We are in the harvest. You go out to these doors. I love what David has put on the lintel of the door. What does it say? Who can tell me, class participation, who can tell me what's on the top of the door? You are now entering the mission field. You are now entering the mission field. You are working in the field. Jesus, our commander in chief, our Messiah, our Lord, and our King, our Melech, says, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields. They are white for harvest. He's saying that there are people that are ready to come into the kingdom of heaven. And you know how people come into the kingdom of heaven? They're brought by the Spirit of God, but God, in his crazy wisdom, chooses you and me. He chooses you and me. Romans chapter 10 says this. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How shall they call on the one whom they have not trusted? And how shall they trust in the one they've not heard of? And how shall they hear without someone preaching? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How will the people of the Flathead Valley know about Jesus unless we are sent by God and God fills us with the Spirit and we open our mouths? Luke 10:2 says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, I beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. And that brings me to a wonderful story that I want to encourage you with. So we were in Brooklyn. We moved from Chicago to Brooklyn in 2015. And we started to Brooklyn with Love, taking groups, churches from all over the country and international groups to come and spend a week with us to do training and outreach. And we would train these folks. We had a group from Goshen, Indiana, came for a week with us. It was 2018, and we were sharing the gospel, and a young Jewish kid came up to me in his teenage, and he came up to me and says, what are you guys doing? I said, well, we're sharing about Jesus. Oh, okay. Are you guys a Jewish organization? I said, we're made up of Jews and Gentiles. He says, well, what do you want to tell me that I haven't heard? I'm like, oh, open door. I said, well, Jesus is the Messiah. We actually have one of the greatest prophecies in a pamphlet here. We have this pamphlet written with Isaiah 53 in Hebrew, and we would love to talk to you about it. He says, well, who do you think it is? I said, well, I think it's a prophecy about Jesus. He says, interesting. I have never heard that before. Actually, I think Isaiah 53, if I'm not mistaken, my rabbi had a class, and it says that it's Israel. I said, yeah, it's a very common response. Many of the rabbis say it's Israel. I said, well, listen, I want to challenge you. I have a Bible, hardbound Bible, with the Old Testament and the New Testament that's taboo to a Jew. You're not allowed to read that, but I want to give it to you, and I want you to read the Old Testament prophecies. It'll be highlighted, and then I want you to see where the New Testament has fulfilled those prophecies. He said, all right, great, I'll take it. So I took it. I said, you asked the Lord to reveal to you. I said, thanks for talking to me. It's about a half hour. He said, I got to go. He turned around and walked away. I took about 3 steps and I heard my name. Hey, Scott. I turned around. I was hit square in the forehead with the Bible I had just handed to him. And it was a hardbound book, and it hit me hard, and I was dazed. I was like, oh my gosh, as my kids would say, oh my chicken nuggets. So my friend from Indiana was like, oh my gosh, Scott, he wailed that at you. And he's running down the street, and he ran down the street and turned around the corner, and I'm like, wow. I'm like, well, I guess I had a little persecution today. All right, check that off your bucket list. Well, we were there another year. A year had passed, and we were there, and lo and behold, I'm like, oh my gosh, I know. Oh my chicken nuggets. It's Ellie. He comes up to me. He says, hey, do you remember me? I'm like, yeah, you're the Bible thrower. He's like, I sure am. And I went and talked to my rabbi. And Isaiah 53, it's not about Jesus. It's about Israel. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, I'm pretty sure. I'm like, well, you don't sound so confident. He's like, I just want to let you know that I've talked to my rabbi. I just needed to tell you that. He's like, I got to go. He leaves. 5 years go by. Ellie is gone. I've been praying for him. I put it in our newsletter. He leaves. 5 years later, I get a phone call. I'm in Denver at a Jewish evangelism conference, and the phone rings. I'm like, what's Brent calling me? Brent is a Mennonite from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, who moved to Brooklyn with his missions agency to reach Orthodox Jewish people, and they had set up Shepherd's Cup Coffee House, where they have Bible studies and music, great coffee, great food, and Jewish people come in there. It's kosher, the whole nine yards. And I get this call, and he says, Scott, I just met a guy who knows you. Do you know a guy named Ellie? I'm like, yeah, the Bible. And he says, the Bible thrower. I'm like, you know? He's like, yeah, he told me all about it. He asked me if I knew who you were, and I said, yes, I know who Scott Schwartz is? He says, yeah, Scott's my colleague with Life of Messiah. He says, he shared Isaiah 53 with me 5 years ago. Scott, he told me he hasn't been able to get that out of his head. It's like, knock, knock, knock. And he's been searching and seeking. And he's like, he was quoting scripture. Scott, he was quoting the New Testament to me. I'm like, you're kidding. He's like, he's so close to getting saved. And he left me with this. He says, I just want you to know that the seed that you're planting, even though you think it's dead, and he threw the Bible at you, God is using your efforts to share the gospel with him. And God's taking it and using it. And I was like, wow, okay, I'll keep going. He's like, keep planting. 6 months goes by, I get a call from another ministry, and they have a Bible study on Friday nights. He says, hey, Scott, your name came up at Shabbat dinner at our Bible study. I'm like, okay, leave me alone. My name keeps coming up. He's like, a guy stumbled into our doors, and his name is Ellie. I'm like, Ellie? He's like, yeah, the Bible thrower. I'm like, yeah, the Bible thrower. He said, he told us all about your meeting. I'm like, you're kidding me. He's like, Scott, he's so close to coming to know the Lord. I'm like, I will keep praying. The following week, I get a call from my buddy. He's like, Scott, Ellie came to our Bible study, and he was really reluctant to talk to us. Last week, he talked, but everyone had left. This week, the flu has gone through our entire community, and nobody showed up, and he came. It was just four of us and him across the table. We talked, we talked, we talked. Tears started to flow, and he said, I want to receive Jesus as the Messiah. Amen. So Ellie got saved, and I went back to Brooklyn and called Brent, and I'm like, Brent, I got to connect with this guy. So lo and behold, he called him. He's like, you're not going to believe it. He's like, what? He's like, Scott's here in Brooklyn. You're kidding. Let me get off work and come over. So he came to his apartment. I wanted to show his picture, but he asked for privacy because he works in the Orthodox community. I was holding my arm around him and his thumbs up. And so we've been texting. I've been discipling him. 7 years of the seed planted, of this harsh reaction, right, to God loving him and pouring out his spirit and revealing to him. And he shared with me, he says, Scott, I love this verse. It says, every day I meditate on this verse. It's John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, the things that the world offers to you are temporary, but the peace that Jesus gives to us is eternal. Amen? And I was like, he's saved. I don't have to wonder. So praise the Lord. So pray for our dear brother. And that's what we're doing. We're in the harvest fields right now. There are people that need the seed of the gospel. They need the word of God shared with them. We are here for such a time as this, to share the gospel, to show people love, right? This is what we're doing. We're working in God's field, waiting for the trumpet, the shofar. We're going to get to that. Next slide. Again, here's the overview. Spring, fall, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So next slide. Let's get into the text. Again, Leviticus 23. This is the text for Rosh Hashanah. Then I will quickly go through what Rosh Hashanah is and how Jesus will fulfill it. All right, so these feasts, you guys, they're not just Jewish feasts for Jewish people and for the people of Israel. They're for you. They're for you because Jesus fulfilled all these feasts for you in the spring, and you receive his salvation, and you are waiting for his return, aren't you? These three feasts will be fulfilled when he returns. So you're waiting. Rosh Hashanah is for you. You're waiting for the what? For the trumpet. So you can put yourself in the shoes of, I'm waiting for these feasts. These feasts are for me as well. And we'll look at that. Leviticus 23, up on the screen. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel saying, in the 17th month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder of the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. Next slide. So what is Rosh Hashanah? So Rosh Hashanah is also known as Yom Teruah. It's the day of blasting. We just read, they are to blow a shofar. And if you hear the blowing of a shofar, it's very arresting. It gets your attention. It's like the fire alarm. It's just, it's jarring. Rosh Hashanah is also the new year for the Jewish people, even though it is not designated that in Scripture, but they celebrate it as a new year. And tradition, this is it, it's a day of introspection that signals the moment that God opens the book of life. Does that sound familiar? Have you heard of the book of life before? There are so many parallels between the Jewish faith and our faith in Jesus the Messiah. They are so close. So many parallels. God opens the book of life, and it begins the 10 days of awe with repentance as the main theme. Okay? Repentance as the main theme. We looked at the Passover. John the Baptist was baptizing, and he gave a message out before Jesus came. He said what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance is a major theme in the kingdom of God. In order for us to be saved, we need to repent and believe the gospel. Amen? So it's a day of introspection, and when the shofar is blown on the day of Rosh Hashanah, there's 10 days between the day of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the most holiest day of the year, and there's 10 days of repentance. We're repenting, 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 repenting. Then the high priest goes in, and we'll look at that about Yom Kippur. But this is a time in the fall where Jewish people are open to receiving forgiveness from God. Next slide. What are some traditional themes and practices? I'm glad you asked. Well, it's traditional to read Genesis 22. Why is that significant? Well, if you read Genesis 22, it's the story of Isaac and Abraham, right? When Abraham offers Isaac. And a ram is caught in a thicket, and the Lord says, I myself will provide a sacrifice. Who's going to fulfill Rosh Hashanah? Jesus the Messiah. And a ram's horn is taken. The ram is caught by its horn. The hearing of the shofar, they blow the shofar 100 times in shul. Shul is Yiddish for synagogue, okay? And they also believe that it's the birthday of the world. They believe on Rosh Hashanah, God created the world. And it's also the time where they pronounce, I love this, they pronounce that the God of Israel is the Melech. Say Melech. It's my second favorite. You guys like feel Jewish. Melech is king. Do you know that we serve the king of the universe? We serve the king. One day there'll be righteousness over the entire face of the earth, when the king sets up his kingdom, and we will be living in that wonderful, it's a movie, it's the drama of life. Messiah Jesus is our king and will set up his kingdom, and we're waiting for Jesus to return. We are longing for that. We are waiting for that. Are you waiting for that? I'm longing for that. Next slide. As I mentioned, repentance. Yeshua began his ministry with the word, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Acts 20:21 says, repent therefore. Well, that's a different verse. Let me turn to Acts 20. Repentance is key. Acts 20:21 says this. Paul says, I did not shrink back from proclaiming to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly from house to house, testifying both. I love this. This was one of the verses that God thrust me into the ministry. Testifying both to Jewish and Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. I read that and God's like, I want you to go to the Jewish people. I'm like, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. I'm with you, Scott, go. I'm like, are you sure? Yes, go. If you don't go, I'm going to kick you in your tuchus and get you going. He didn't say that to me. He was gentle. So the arrival of the king at the blast of the shofar. So my wife loves, she talks in pictures. She's an artist. And she says, Scotty, I'm like, what? She's like, one day the sky's going to rip open. I'm like, wow. And the Messiah is going to come through the clouds. And he's going to announce his arrival with the blowing of the shofar. You're going to hear it, and we're going to see him. And then that kingdom's going to be set up. But before that kingdom is set up, he's going to pour out his spirit on all Israel, and they're going to see him. They're going to mourn for him, Zechariah 12:10, and they're going to believe in him. God's going to pour out a spirit of grace and supplication. They're going to pray to the Lord. Interesting story. We are actually doing ministry. There's some ministries that maybe don't do ministry, but we do ministry. We go out onto the streets of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and we share with Orthodox guys with black hats and the payas. We share with them. And we were talking, talking about Shabbat, and I was getting ready to be Rosh Hashanah, and I said, you guys are blowing the shofar on shul. He says, yes, yes, 100 times, so much, blow, 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 it's overwhelming. Okay, God, I get it. Rabbi, I get it. I'm supposed to repent. I said, interesting. I said, you know that there are some Christians that believe that there'll be a blowing of a shofar when the Messiah comes. He says, yeah, okay, that's Christian. I'm Jewish. I said, then if you're Jewish, what do you guys say? How will the Messiah, the Mashiach, announce his arrival? Will he just appear? Will he throw gold dust? Will they roll out the red carpet? He says, many scholars, many rabbis say that God will announce his coming of the Messiah with the blowing of a shofar. I'm like, you can't make this stuff up. I said, well, the Christians say the same thing. He says, we'll see. I'm like, you will see with your own eyes, bro. Can't make this stuff up, huh? It's beautiful. Next slide. So we're waiting for this. We're waiting for this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead and Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the who? The Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord forever. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We can comfort one another with these words, that the trumpet, the shofar will blast, and the Lord will descend, and we will be caught up to be with him. I'm going to grab on. I'm not letting go. When we go up, I don't want to fall back down. But we will be with the Lord forever. Next slide. So we have Rosh Hashanah will be fulfilled when we hear the shofar blast. Guess what? That's still yet to come. You can partake. You're waiting for that, aren't you? Would you agree that Rosh Hashanah is for you? Because you're waiting for the... Come on, you're Jewish. You're grafted in. You should know these feasts. We're learning them. I'm praying the clock. Slow down, clock. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the exact day, the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall humble yourselves and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall do no work on this day, for it's the Day of Atonement, to make atonement on behalf before the Lord your God. And notice that it's a day where you shall do no work. God, again, wants them to stop and purposely fix their eyes on the Lord and on his kingdom. So Yom Kippur, next slide. What is significant? Well, it's Israel's national atonement. As you can read in Leviticus 16, listen, read Leviticus 16 this week. It's tremendous. Step by step of what Aaron did with the goat, two goats, and bringing it in and killing it and putting the blood on the altar and on the mercy seat. And oh, there's sweet-smelling incense to cover the mercy seat. So God would not, they would not see the presence of God. So there's beautiful smells going on. There's the blood. It's the holiest day of the year. They were to humble themselves. They were to fast. Leviticus 16 gives the entire instruction of that. Leviticus 25:9, it's the year of Jubilee, year of release of every 50 years, begins on Yom Kippur. Next slide. Special duties of the high priest. He's stripped of his majestic garments to wear humble white linen. I want you to look at the parallel between the high priest in the days of the temple and our high priest, Jesus. He was stripped of majestic garments and he wore humble white linens. The high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, two goats, as I mentioned, one offered on the altar, on the mercy seat. The other one remains alive. The high priest would lay his hands upon it and confess the sins of the nation. And that scapegoat would be then sent out into the wilderness as the sin was going outside the camp. The sins of the nation were laid upon the goat. The sins of the entire world were laid upon the Lamb of God, Jesus. See the connection? Next slide. Isaiah 53 speaks about this high priest, this Lamb of God, where it says, "Surely our griefs he has himself bore, and our sorrows he has carried. Yet we esteemed him ourselves stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He, Jesus, was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are all healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him." And Eli said, "I do not believe that it's Israel, but I believe these words are fulfilled in Jesus the Messiah. And he's now our brother in Jesus." Amen? Next slide. Yeshua, Jesus, put on humility. Yeshua is our high priest. How do I know this? Because Hebrews 9, 11, and 12 says this. Jesus will fulfill Yom Kippur. Another verse in Hebrews says, he came once. Jewish people believe in one coming of the Messiah. Our second coming will be their first coming. But Hebrews says he came once to deal with sin. How did he do that? By dying on a cross. He says he will come a second time to bring salvation. We haven't received our full salvation yet. How do I know? Because I had COVID in 2020, and many of you did, right? And Pastor Mike tore his knee, his ACL. How are we healed by it? Stripes? We're healed, right? Because that full healing will be manifested in the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus returns the second time, then we will have our full salvation. But this verse, verse 11, "But when Messiah appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands." In the old days, they had a temple and a tabernacle. That is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. Amen. "He entered the holy place once for all, having attained eternal redemption." Jesus has secured our eternal salvation. Next slide. Israel's coming national atonement is based on Tanakh promises. Then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you. Do you know that God has compassion on all of us? The greatest demonstration of compassion was demonstrated through Jesus, the Messiah. He took upon our debt. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we would become the righteousness of God. Amen? Let that sink in. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we would become righteous. And I know the thoughts that I think when I drive in the city of New York City and someone cuts me off. I am not righteous. But God calls us righteous because we've put our faith in Jesus. Then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. This is future when God will pour out his Spirit. Next slide. God's future promise. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. Who's he talking to? Who is Ezekiel talking to? The prophet Ezekiel is a prophet to the nation of? Guys, let's get on the train with the Lord, and you are on that train. He is going to put his spirit within you, the Jewish people, and cause them to walk in his statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave you to your forefathers. So you will be my people and I will be your God. I know you guys have a heart for the Jewish people. You want them to know the Lord. You're coming to partner with us. You're taking a group to New York City, sacrificing your time and your treasure to partner with us. Paul in Romans 11:25, next slide. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery so that you will be wise, that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. What a promise. God's going to remove their sin. This is my covenant with them. With who? The Jewish people, with Israel. When I take away their sins, I can't wait for that day. There are going to be hundreds and thousands of Elis, of Elis. Next, we come to Sukkot. We're going to land the plane. This will be the fastest Sukkot teaching you've ever heard. It's so good. I will do my best. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel saying on the 15th of the seventh month is the Feast of Booths for 7 days to the Lord. Now on the first day you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook and you shall what? Rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days. It shall be a continual or perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt. This is now, we're coming to the end of the feast, but we're hearkening back to the beginning right here. It's full circle. Don't forget, do this in what? Remembrance of me. Don't forget how I brought you out of Egypt. The Exodus from Egypt and the Passover is mentioned over 49 times in the Old Testament. That's a lot, right? There's 66 books, 49 times. I think God's trying to remind them, do not forget when I brought you out. Do not forget how I brought you out. Because if I didn't bring you out, you would still be slaves. But because I was faithful and brought you out, you are now free. Do this in remembrance. Remember how Jesus has brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Notice this. You are to bring all of these foliage and trees, and you are to do one thing. You are to rejoice before the Lord your God. We can rejoice because God has poured out his Spirit and forgiven us of our sin. There is great rejoicing. Next slide. It's the final feast of the year, usually in October or September. It's one of the three prescribed pilgrim feasts in Jerusalem. And in John chapter 7, we see where God, through Jesus, calls out about being the living water, and it was important. One of the pilgrim feasts is Shavuot. See that Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot? God poured out his Spirit, and every Jewish person was there during Shavuot. God wanted every Jewish male there. And God wanted every Jewish male there during the Feast of Sukkot when Jesus declared that he was divine. It's also known as the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast, the time of our rejoicing. It's a reminder, right? Post-Egypt, we look back, and it's a rehearsal of what? God's kingdom. And the main thing is rejoicing. Why? Because God is with us. Do you know that God is with us? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Next slide. Skip the next slide. How do they practice this ancient feast? Well, they are to dwell in temporary dwellings made from the nearest available materials, different from the house, used by farmers to dwell in fields during the harvest. Here's a book, a look at a sukkah. Next slide. It's three walls with a thatched roof made of natural materials so that you can see God's creation above, the sun coming through and the stars at night. It's decorated with fruit and harvest decor. Next slide. Next slide. Guess what? Next slide. next slide. The Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, they see Jesus glorified, and what do they react? How do they react? Let's build three sukkahs. Let's build this sukkah so we can dwell, because Moses and Jesus is here with us and Elijah. Let's hang out. It's very common Jewish understanding here. Peter apparently thought that the messianic age had arrived, and his first reaction may have been, we're going to celebrate Sukkot because the kingdom's here. Okay? But it was just a glimpse. Next slide. Final slide here. Two more slides, but let's do this one real quick. Go back. This is too important to pass over. Everyone okay? Okay. So John chapter 7, verse 37 through 52, it was the Hoshana Rabbah, the final day of the feast. In your mind's eye, we're going to go back to the second temple, and we're going to put ourselves with all of these throngs of worshipers. The priests would go down the steps, the southern steps of the temple, and they would dip these copper pots full of water in the pool of Siloam, and they would go back up, and they would enter in to the court of the Gentiles, to the couple steps where the altar is, and they would circle around each day one time and pour the water out. The seventh day, they would go back, copper buckets, and they would go back up, and they would circle seven times. Now, there is some, they have lulavs and etrogs. Let's go back a few more slides. Go back. Back again. Back again. I'm sorry. Back again. These are etrogs and a lulav. Lulav are palm branches from Israel. They're tied together. And when you shake a palm branch and you shake it, it's like, sounds like what? Rain. The Jewish people are praying for rain. And there's thousands and thousands of Jewish people shaking these palm branches as they're dipping in the pool of Siloam. Go forward some more. Back to John chapter 7. Yep. So they're circling seven times, and they're crying out, God saves us. And they're getting ready to circle the seventh time, and they're all this noise, save us, Lord. Pour out your rain, pour out your Spirit. And they're getting ready to pour the seventh time. And before they pour out the seventh time, the high priest raises his hands, and all of the lulavs stop. And it's like this. Quiet. And many say that it was during this time, next slide, that Yeshua breaks the silence and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Amen? And he is then pronouncing that I am the divine Messiah. I am here, and I will usher in the eternal kingdom when I come back. Amen? Revelation 7, verse 9 through 17. Throngs of worshipers will with what? With palm branches in their hand, verse 9. And the shepherd will guide them to springs of living water. And let me finish with this. It's in Revelation chapter 21. We will celebrate Sukkot as we hear the sound of the shofar, as God pours out his spirit as promised in Ezekiel, and all of Israel will be saved. We will be caught up, and Jesus will set up his everlasting kingdom. John says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard with a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is among men, and he shall what? Tabernacle among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God. Calvary Flathead, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. There shall be no more mourning, no more crying, or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away. Amen? We are waiting for the trumpet, for the national salvation of Israel, and for us, we will dwell and celebrate Sukkot with the Lamb forever and ever. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your feasts, for your calendar, for your timetable. You hold the stopwatch, Lord. We wait for you. We are listening for the trumpet. Lord, return quickly. Come soon, Lord Jesus. We trust you. We love you. We thank you for your plan for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.